Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
Download the Cliff Central app. Available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store.
This is Cliff Central.
Welcome to the Futurology Show. As always, B2 next to me. How's it going, sir? Brett?
Good and you, man.
Fantastic, thank you. Except for this freaking weather. I mean, yeah. Yes, luck. Hello, winter.
I went outside and got a whole bunch of firewood to keep us warm yesterday. It was a fantastic thing, but I burnt all of it.
I hope you have a fireplace.
The rain came down, and now I have no dry wood.
Okay, but I do hope you have a fireplace. Can we clarify it's not gas?
Oh, no.
You just
push the couches together into a corner, and it makes it pretty good.
Yeah, I live in a town now, so I can just imagine if I'm bringing firewood. Actually, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go past the caretaker and like bring firewood. What are you doing with that? No, we're having a fire.
Put the oven on grill and just leave the
fantastic
door open.
So, as always, app of the week. This week, I thought, because with our guest that's coming up just now, I'll introduce him, but I thought I'd bring a productivity app, since I've been talking about games and fun stuff in it for the last few weeks, and I found an app called Trello. Do you know Trello?
Yeah, oldie but a goodie.
It is good.
Yeah, we've used it for a while. It's really cool.
It's resurfaced, you're right. It is an oldie but a goodie, but it's recently resurfaced. I think this whole wave of collaborative working and online working and people being wherever they are. So for those people that don't know Trello, if you picture business cards, like little mini business cards sitting on your screen, and what you do is you write a note or you create a task. So it's like a task type thing.
Like a virtual scrum board.
And that's actually a great description, yeah. But a lot of people don't know what scrumming is either, and I'm not talking about rugby.
It's not like rugby.
Shit,
no.
After this game, this weekend, we shouldn't be talking about rugby.
Your virtual
33 days. Anyway, so back to Trello. And you create these like little cards, these like little business cards, and then you write a task, and it like pops up, so you can just look at it and say, well, this is what I have to do today.
Yeah.
A lot of people are probably going, I've got notes, or I've got a reminder. Where it becomes cool is that you can actually invite someone to participate on your task or on your card, and then they can update it. Now, what I really liked about it is, and it is the app of the week, but it has a beautiful web interface as well. And if you're sitting in the office and you're office bound and you're part of the project team and you're typing online, if you have the app open, it actually changes in real time. I don't know if you knew that.
Yes.
But I was watching it change in real time. I thought that was fantastic. So you're never behind, and that's been a problem with me on some of the collaborative software, is that if it doesn't refresh or you don't push a refresh button, you don't know about it.
Yeah.
So that's Trello.
The nice thing about it, it's free for the most part.
They do
have a paid option.
So they do.
It's really cool for just groups of people, individuals, independents, privates, to get together, as well as really good business tool as well. So if you are a business, it's a good thing to look at.
Well, that's why we looked at it. I just felt that like at work, we weren't collaborating properly, and you're sending an email, then you're in Skype, so I just thought this was a nice place to put a central notice board, like those little things you get when you go into Pick and Pay and that, like lost dog or I'll clean your car or something like that. So app of the week, Trello, definitely check it out. As Brett said, it is a free app, and you actually get a lot of functionality.
Yeah.
There were power-ups or reminders or integration with things like Google Calendar and that you had to pay for. But even then, I think it was like $1 a month a user. So it really, it's not a bank-breaking app. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. So moving on, staying with app and app technology.
Yeah.
Have you heard of the Great Chinese Firewall? So I'm going to try and pronounce this. Feng Bing Ting, I think that is. Binxing. And Bingo was his name.
Yeah.
That oak. So he basically is...
He doesn't eat meat, eh?
No, probably... So what they sometimes eat, it could be quite something.
The Great Chinese Firewall. Is
so
that what it is?
He built the wall, the digital wall in China that stops people accessing the web. So if you know people that go to China, that live in China... that's why WeChat is so big. WeChat was allowed, WhatsApp wasn't. WeChat became public. Listen to me, came into the Western world, and all of a sudden it's got 400 million users.
Mm.
That's why. But what was quite interesting is that this dude was giving a presentation down in South Korea, and they've got pretty similar internet rules of what you can and can't do. So he brings up, he's doing a demo, and he says, okay, watch. And he types in a website that he knows is not going to work. And, of course, it doesn't work. It comes up with, all Chinese characters. He says, but watch this. And he deploys a VPN. And, of course, the VPN, for those that don't know, virtual private network. It hides your what would you say, your identity, GNS, what we used to use, for Netflix. Don't get me started on that. But yeah, so basically, he deploys the VPN and voila, it works. Now, I'm thinking to myself, one, this dude's getting a bullet. Family's going to pay for it.
Yeah.
Two, all those people that have been using VPNs are probably going, what the, know, I mean, now he's just made it public that there's VPN technology that breaks any of the firewalls. And three, can you imagine the clampdown that's going to happen on VPNs?
Yeah.
So he's single-handedly undone his own architecture, probably going to get himself shot, and pissed off a lot of Chinese people. I mean, anyway. Yeah. So
the great Chinese firewall can't be seen from space.
Bing Ting, I think that's it. I'm not quite sure. Bing Ting. Staying with breaking firewalls and stuff, I came across such a cool site.
Yeah.
So you know the Panama Papers, right? So for those of you that don't know the Panama Paper issue, about 11.5 million documents were leaked. They were documents between financial transactions and lawyers, and the law firm was based in Panama, hence the name Panama Papers. It wasn't much thought that went into that one. I came across 8020's website. Go to 8020, like 80 the words and 20 the number, .co.za. And what you do is you just type in an address. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can type in any random address into the bar when it opens up.
Yep.
And they've got a disclaimer saying that all it's doing is it's referencing the papers. But if any company or shareholder or anyone was mentioned in the Panama Papers, you'll see a marker on your page.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, I typed like Ravonia and there's 280 people or something, or companies, and they're like all around. And the thing was like, know your neighbors. I'm like,
awesome.
You've got all these guys around you that have potentially been, and you've got to say that, potentially been implicated. But it was actually quite interesting. I went to like Latuli House and Hillbrow, and the numbers were low, okay, which was quite interesting. But as soon as you get into the affluent areas, like Ilovo, Sandton, Rosebank, Rivonia, there's hundreds.
I'm
surrounded. If you've seen it, it's ridiculous. So that was, I had some fun looking at it, like, checking my old neighborhoods. Like, I knew that oak that lived down the road was Dodge, and there's a mark on his house, So that was quite cool. They came out this week. Guys, if anyone's wanting to call in and chat, remember it's 0861-555-189, or catch us on Twitter at cliffcentral.com, or Facebook, or WeChat, just phone in, I suppose, is probably the easiest.
And use the hashtag.
And use the hashtag.
Futurology.
Futurology. Cheers. There we go. Thank you. So let's go with leaks. So staying with leaks, the SABC. Did you see Anonymous took them down this weekend.
Really?
I mean, they've had a month from hell. Besides the cuck weather we've got now, they did this whole posting about they're not going to show... What do they refer to? They're going to show Sunshine News reporting or something like that. They're going to show the violence and all that kind of stuff. So Anonymous wasn't too happy about it. And I quote it and paraphrase it. An Anonymous Africa hacker going by the handle at Zim for the win brought... a number of the SABC's websites to halt on Sunday, including SABC's primary site, their subsites of radio broadcasters 5FM and SAFM. So just physically took them out. Bang. So guys, power to the hackers. Show us the real stuff, or we're gonna get your sites taken down, is basically what they say.
I think we're due another security chat.
Yeah, I know. Candace needs to get in. There's also that dude that wants to talk about like our identity and future and all that. So I think let's set that up, Brett.
Cool.
Then the good stuff, Sony PlayStation 4 Neo.
Oh, not
codename. No, codename Neo. So apparently this is going to work side by side with PlayStation 4. The reason I wrote it, why do you think I chose this specific device?
Is there an Angry Birds release?
There probably is, but that's not it. Why else would I choose it? What do we love?
VR.
There we go. So full VR integration.
Nice.
With 4K resolution, and it will work with Sony's
it's
actual
got more
VR.
Cores. Yeah, not 8 cores anymore. I mean, the 4 came out with what? 8 cores? 12 cores?
It was 4. So it was probably 4. 8. It's probably up to.
Yeah. No, that's phenomenal. So they can handle the computing power behind it.
Well, the whole thing's about the VR side of it. That's what it's all about. So they basically said they're not going to take 4 off. Mm. This is going to be a side of 4.
That's cool. I was wondering when Sony were going to enter the VR market.
Yeah, and I mean, their lenses are good. Their tech's good. Their game engines are good.
I mean, for years they've always used the Zeiss things, and I went and got one of those Zeiss VR ones the other day.
I remember. I was there.
You were there, yeah. And but it's really impressive. It's really nice. It's a great playing place where the guys that create the content have got the platforms, are getting involved, but even the lens producers are getting involved.
No, no.
So it's all about, it's not just about.
Notice this like whole open environment where brands are playing nicely together.
Open SDKs, everything's available. Like there's the Unity gaming engines pushing cardboard SDKs and the VR one. But it's nice that everybody's getting involved. It's not just about creating the gimmick content. It's actually about making it really, really awesome.
Someone asked me that the other day. So yeah, but is it just fun? I actually showed the video clip of your mate.
Does that
look fun to you? So we had this guy, for the listeners, that we put him in VR headset and noise cancelling headset, and we put a roller coaster on. And I mean, the oak was sweating. He was holding onto the side of the chair.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nearly over. Okay, so I mean, it was fantastic. Yeah. But that's VR. So I mean,
we had mates come around the other day, and they were just before the meeting, they were telling us about how they had used the VR headset, and you must try be the passenger in the front seat of a car while you've got the VR glasses on and doing a roller coaster. And he was like, wow, that's really taking it to a whole nother level. I was like, that's insane.
Actually pretty cool. We've got
noise cancelling headphones, the VR one on your head.
Let's
and then drive
it.
Around. Cool.
Okay, so I've had a little bit of a Apple praising withdrawal over the last 3 weeks with Google I/O, with Apple losing bits and pieces here and there and blah, blah, blah. So I had to find something, like chicken soup for the soul.
Yeah.
And I found something. So the one time you don't want a machine to crash is during a heart operation.
No.
And that's exactly what happened overseas. And it wasn't a Mac. It was a PC. And I say that because the hospital has antivirus software, because you don't need that on Mac, that was running. And it's scheduled to do a deep dive every hour. So these oaks are downstairs in cardio. This machine's monitoring all the vitals. And next minute, the screen goes off.
Did the antivirus hit?
The antivirus kicked in and turned off the in-call. So... Yeah, sorry for you. It's got a good story. I mean, the oak didn't die. They rebooted the machine, and that's when they picked it up. So anyone running hospitals or anything that's quite important, please take off your automatic scanners and don't let the machines go down on people. Well, don't let the machines go down on people while you're operating on them.
Easy.
And there we go again, 16 minutes sprint. Into the show.
Honestly.
Okay, so I'm still going to stay with Android for a little bit longer, but again, with a little bit of love for Apple. You can run Android on an iPhone.
Well, you can run Windows on a Mac, so I suppose it was about time.
Yeah, but...
Does it run better?
No, no, it can't. But these guys, I don't know why they did it, but I also don't know why I need one, want one, have to get one.
It's like trying to breed a cat and a dog. It doesn't make sense in my brain.
Sounds quite nice as well. Go fetch my slippers. What, me? Are you mad? Get the attitude and the yeah, okay, no. But no, go back to my Android and iPhone. So... They've made this case, okay, and it plugs into the Lightning port, and the case is running a 650 milliamp battery and a rooted version of the original Android chip and processor.
Sounds fun.
And you open the app on the phone, and next minute there's freaking Android on your iPhone.
Does it come with the great Chinese firewall? So you can't really do anything with it
anyway. No, it doesn't. No, you can't. You can do everything.
Okay.
You can access as if it was a... The only thing is obviously a bit of latency in that
you're
running an OS as an app. So it's got to run, but it works. And as I said, I have this very weird feeling, like, you know, when you look at your sister's best friend and you shouldn't be because she's like a sister kind of feeling. I just need one of those cases. I just need one. No. I just want to see what it looks like to have Android on a decent phone for a change.
You can take that knock.
So, yeah. Anyway, so I mentioned we have a guest with us today, and... we have joining us in studio Mason Sinclair, who's the CEO of Inspiration Lab. How's it, Mason?
How's it, Brett? How are you doing?
Okay, and you?
Good,
which
good.
Brett?
Both Bretts.
Okay.
See, it's efficient, eh?
Yeah.
Thanks for enjoying the chitter-chatter. And we've got the business protocol out the way.
Yeah, no, 100%. So I never tell people what it is you do, because if you don't know what you do, then you shouldn't be sitting here. So tell us, what is the Inspiration Lab?
Sure. So the Inspiration Lab is a platform that effectively connects businesses to university students for internships, temporary work, and also jobs for when they graduate. So it effectively automates the matchmaking process between companies and students.
So... I mean, that's actually quite a good elevator pitch, and not many people get that right. I mean, B2 and I have had that chat quite a few times on the importance of that.
We try to make our conversations shorter and shorter each time just to see it doesn't work so well.
I want you to take us through the journey, and we'll get to that now, but I think this is fantastic on the basis that I was a graduate. And in fact, I've actually put that down on my CV over the years, so that I studied through UNISA. The honest answer is probably because I was so lazy I couldn't actually be bothered to try and do a three-year degree in 3 years. But the real answer was that I wanted to have experience so that when you come out, you know, a degree is fantastic. No education is a waste. I don't think anyone will disagree with that statement. But the problem in society is that you go to varsity, you learn the latest and greatest. I mean, let's be honest, the guys that are learning, I mean, when I was in varsity, I had the four P's, and I think now there's seven or nine or 79 P's. I don't know. There's a lot of P's running around. But these guys have no work experience. And, you know, you hear the University of Life, and you hear, yeah, I've paid the school fees, and I've got the T-shirt, and all the cliches that go with it. The bottom line is no one really gives these guys a break. Or, more importantly, and I'm guilty of this, I have some grad, like, reach out to me on LinkedIn, wants to be connected. I'm not going to link in with them. Why? I'm a doer. You know what I mean? That's the bottom line. No, I am. I'm going, well, what are you going to do for me? That's the bottom line. He could be the next freaking Zuckerberg, and I could have linked in with him, and you go, you know what? That dude, Brett, that linked in with me all those years ago, big up, he has a ball. You know? Yep. So take us through the mindset, or take us through what made you think about Inspiration Lab, and this, my story seems to resonate as well, but and take us through that journey of how this helps and what the process behind it.
Sure. So basically, you know, I also I'm a graduate, and then effectively you start studying. Off the top of your head, you know, one or two different companies.
That you would like to maybe sort of kind of work for.
Exactly.
The Playboy Mansion, Coca-Cola. not those graduates. Yeah, okay.
And then you wake up.
And then basically, so people end up just Google searching, you know, engineering jobs, Johannesburg.
Yeah.
And after sort of three hits, that's all they know about. Mm. So the process from the student side is effectively to centralize all of these opportunities into one place. So to sort of to show you what options there are available to you, and to remove the hassle of applying for these jobs as well. So effectively, when a student comes onto the platform, they get stepped through a bit of a process to build a profile.
So it's a web platform.
It's
a not
web
an
platform.
App.
It's a web platform.
And the website is inspirationlab.io.
That's
correct?
It.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, carry on. Just
and
let
then
people
basically
know.
We'll understand from the information they give us what this type of candidate is, and it automatically matches them up to things that they specifically qualify for.
Excellent.
So you don't necessarily need to search for anything. You come on there, it knows that you're a finance graduate. And it would pull up everything that's directly relevant to you.
Okay.
You can look into the different companies, and then effectively it's one click to apply to any position. So there's no repeating, sending CVs, that sort of thing, and it manages all of your applications in one place.
Well, that's fantastic, because everybody sort of pegs themselves against the company they think they're going to work for, but sometimes you're not quite sure. There might be a brand that you'd never thought about ever, and they're looking for someone exactly like you.
Exactly.
So now you're in that pool.
Nice socks, Brett.
Exactly.
Sorry, I just noticed you're wearing pink and blue socks.
I got my pink socks.
Fantastic. We need a picture of that.
Okay, I dress my three-year-old. My three-year-old dresses me. It's awesome. So, back to connecting human beings that need work.
Hey, socks are important. I mean, imagine if you came for an interview with socks like that, you'd probably get the job.
Luckily, I don't have many interviews anymore, so
I'd employ you just for the socks.
Oh, cheers.
No, sorry, and I'll cut you off. Carry on.
It's actually called toe porn. It's really cool.
That's like happy feet. Toe porn. We're going to digress here. I mean, there we go, but that's fine. Not that we ever do. Look, a squirrel.
So, Inspiration Lab is fantastic, and I really do like it. And we've had other guests on the show before with similar type things. We've had Versify, which have got specifically about linking tradespeople to services, and that's really cool. But a lot of graduates leave varsity thinking, fantastic, I'm in the big wide world and I'm going to make it big, let's go. And sometimes it's a wah situation, because and how do you keep moving to the next opportunity?
Exactly.
This keeps them in the pool, which is quite nice.
Exactly, yeah. So also, like you said, there's a bunch of different companies, and sort of where recruitment's moving to becoming more niche.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have the tradesman one, you have, you know, very industry specific ones. And our focus is purely around anyone studying at any university in the country, but across fields, but specifically in that niche.
Excellent. And how long have you guys been running?
For 2 years. Cool. So we launched it officially at the beginning of last year, and we sort of ran a beta phase trial for about half a year, and then converted it as it took off.
So it's obviously not regional. I mean, online is online. But have you found, I mean, how many students have applied or registered or logged in?
Yeah, we've got thousands of students on the platform.
Okay. And where are you finding the main application coming from? Is it Gauteng, or is it anywhere? I mean,
so we've got people from pretty much every university in the country, but the majority of them are sort of Gauteng and Western Cape.
Okay. Oh, I suppose that would make sense as well. Now, I always ask about the app, and that it's a website. It's obviously a responsive site. I mean, I know I've seen the site. This is always the thing that I go go-to. I mean, you could probably take sound bites from any show we've done, and it's always the chicken and egg. So you've come up with this great idea. You've built this platform. You've got thousands of students. That was probably quite easy because you go to a campus and you say, hey, guys, we've got your back. We're here to help you. I'm assuming it's free of charge for a student.
So yeah, it's free for the students.
Okay,
yeah.
Because you've got absolutely no chance of getting money out of students unless you have the word beer in it somewhere. Even then, you've probably got no chance of getting money out of them. The thing is that, I mean, I own a business. I didn't know about this company. Okay, so, and I do bring in an intern every now and then because that's, and we'll get to the different types of people that, you know, different types of students and opportunities. What have you been doing in the business world to tell the business? Have you been looking just at the big guys? Do they know about it? Give us some of maybe the case studies or some examples of the clients, not clients, that's the wrong word, the corporation or the corporates that have linked in with you and brought some kids on board.
Sure. So we focus mainly on the big guys. You know, we started with them across various industries, law firms, banks, audit firms, that sort of thing.
You terrible man. You're horrible. How's this guy selling these kids out to banks, law firms? What did you say?
Well, it makes sense. Think about the ABSA ad. Understand tomorrow's kids, tomorrow's future.
B3's not here. You don't have to punt his bank.
No.
Okay.
But you can also come get grads on our platform as well.
I know about it.
Clip Central discounts as well.
Tanya, if you're listening, please make sure you put a 20% loading on Mason's advertising. that does make sense. Okay. And I mean, that's obviously where the people that have gone to a university or tech or any tertiary education are. They're throwing their hats. They want to be the next PwC auditor intern. They want to be the next, I don't know, what's that, ugly building in Sandton, Rose, Ellen, Porter, pregnant, that big black and white gray thingy, them, Wharton, I don't know, Rose Bennett something. They want to be a lawyer there. I couldn't think of a law firm. Cliff
Norton
Decker.
Norton Rose Fulbright.
Yeah, that Norton Rose. It's the most ugly. You know what? There's a lot of accolades people want to get in life, but the ugliest building in Sandton is not one of them. But anyway.
It must be from the top, though.
Yeah, maybe, but it's cuck ugly building. So that makes sense, and they obviously know about it. How does the matching process work? Is there two profiles? So I'm an employer. I mean, yep. I'm not looking for a job at the moment, given the way I've been behaving lately.
I don't think you'll get one.
Well, no, I don't have
you
those
don't have
socks.
Cool socks.
Yeah, you see, that's actually I do. I've got like Batman socks and shit.
Focus, Brett.
Okay, cool. So, but I have cool colored shoes. So, do you have a separate portal for companies to register?
That's it, yeah.
Okay, so I'm an employer, what do I do?
So basically a company just comes onto the platform, it just says four companies, they register there as a company. What it then does is that they can select quite specifically what it is they're looking for. So they can say, we take, you know, we're interested in these universities, these degrees, people that are strong in these areas, this type of personality. And then it would instantly match them up to anyone from universities around the country that meet their requirements.
Cool.
And there's a whole back-end system that the companies use as well where they can sort of sort and filter and manage and compare applications that they get coming through.
And it's free for companies as well as graduates.
No.
I was about to get to that. So there has to be a – I mean, look, he's dressed nicely and he's got normal color socks. Yeah. He's got to pay the bills. What is the –
The world does not turn around
on
bunny hugs and unicorn kisses.
Okay.
Yeah, unless so you're buying a squatty
it's a
potty.
Bit of a different business model, so yeah. It's quite innovative the way we do it. So basically, there's no fees to be part of the platform, and there's no
for both.
Well, I'm talking about the companies.
Okay,
now.
Okay.
So there's no fees for them to have a profile, and no fees for them to advertise various positions that they have available. What happens then is all of the students that are interested in their positions, they get matched up with based on their criteria. What would then happen is that they can see everything about these candidates and they pay to connect to each student that they
are the ones that are relevant. Okay.
Exactly. So they'll say, okay, of these 100 applications, they use
That's
our
clever.
Tools to sort through everything.
That's great.
And they say, okay, I only actually like these four.
So it's actually like a pay per click almost.
Exactly. So it's as flexible as you want it to be.
And you don't take like 6 months salary or whatever it is,
no,
like
so
the recruitment agencies
you're not a
do.
Placement agency.
Yeah. Okay. So the idea is to cut them out effectively. There's no need for them.
Suck's going to get targets on the back of his head. And just see these Kellys and that other world.
Check the size of that you walked in with.
Yeah. No. No. It's, but that, you see, now that's disruptive. That's why you're on the show, because that's what we like. I mean, I make a
the
point
future
of
employment
not,
is things like this.
Yeah, but it's true. Think about it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go to an employment bureau. Okay, hold on a second. Let me not slate employment bureaus. They have a purpose, and there's certain fields where a lot of due diligence needs to happen. I mean, auditors, doctors, that kind of level, I think going through a recruitment agency makes sense because these guys have access to tools. I have a design agency. I'm looking for a designer. I'm looking for a community manager. I'm looking for a marketing grad that can come write some cool content for me. I don't care what he or she did or took their bra off and ran through a rally at night. I really don't care. They burnt down a building. I got a problem with that. But I'm also not prepared to pay like 10% of 6 months' salary just to get that person in. So that person could have been really cool that went to see that recruitment agent to get it out there.
Yep.
So you saying now it's a pay per engagement model is probably
so it's
better.
A pay to connect, yeah.
How does that work? So I go in the portal, I'm looking for a social community manager,
yep,
hypothetically. Or I'm looking for a BA grad in English because I want content.
Yep.
Okay. So I go in, I put my keywords in.
Yep.
Your system then searches and it comes back and it says there's four people that match your criteria. Sexy, knows how to make coffee. Can you imagine the CCMA?
You like, want a hymn that's sexy?
Yeah.
Nice. Just saying. I've got pink socks, but you want sexy hymns.
I walked into that one. I said community manager. It didn't say female or male. Careful, Kathy. I'll put a microphone on you. We're going to get you on here. Huh? We've got Kathy sitting in the background there from the PR side with Inspiration Lab. Oh, careful. I'll get you on this mic soon. So, I run the engine, lack of a better description. It spits out that there's four candidates. Do I get to see like everything I need to except for contact
details? Exactly. So, but it's also run by the student side more than your side. So you can't basically see the entire database. You say, okay, I'm looking for a BA English. This is exactly what I'm looking for. The system knows exactly who those people are, notifies them that this position's available.
That's even better. So I don't actually get to see the four potential candidates. They get informed. So they can actually go, because, wow. But okay,
it's great in terms of connecting relevant skilled graduates to relevant jobs. But also relevant information that I'm getting now as well, because now I've opted in as the student to be a part of this before that job has even been posted.
Yep.
So it's immediately relevant. It's not spam. It's never spam.
Exactly. So both sides only ever see things that are completely relevant to what they're looking for.
But what's nice about – okay, because I was about to say wow and my ah moment, but maybe you're going to piss on that for me. There's certain companies that I would not work for. I'd rather be unemployed than work for those companies.
Yeah.
But when you go to a recruitment agent goes, fantastic company looking for this with salary. Okay. And I go. And then, of course, they go, well, actually – it's the da-da-da-da, you know?
Exactly.
And I'm going, oh, you've got to be kidding me. I actually wore a tie for this. So do I get to see who the recruiter is?
Exactly. So basically normal other platforms, I don't know if you've been on them, you'll see that maybe if it's a recruitment agent, they hide who the company
they do.
Is.
Yeah.
Our platform, the companies themselves run their side of the platform. So you know directly that this is Nedbank, this is PwC.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's very cool, huh?
So none of it's anonymous. You get connected directly to the people in that company.
Okay.
So there's no agencies in between.
And I'm asking this question because I'm in this stage in our company and we've been looking at some stuff in it. So I'm gonna talk from the employer side.
Okay.
I log into Inspiration Lab. I create a profile, what I am, who I am, company. As I said, I'm looking for this BA person that writes content. What information do I see? Do I see a name? Do I see a sex? What do I get back to start this dating cycle? And what do they? So let's take this a real case. I'm looking for a BA content writer. What happens next?
Okay, so you say you've selected all the qualifications, everything about the position that you want to fill.
Yep.
All of those.
Do I have to put salary in and all that?
It's optional.
Okay.
So you can say market related or
yeah.
Then notify you. Notify all the people that are relevant.
Okay.
They then apply to that position. All of them come through on your platform. So you know everyone that then comes through on your side at least meets the minimum requirements that you've set.
Okay.
Now, when you look at any one of their profiles, you can see absolutely everything about them except their name, email address, contact details.
Okay.
So you would see their work experience, their qualifications, their grades, everything about that person except what their name is. If you say, okay, I'm happy with that profile, you just click to unlock and it reveals saying, okay, this is this person. He has their email address, contact details. And from there, you interview them and do whatever you need to do.
How big is your online database at the moment? Companies viewers, if you're happy to disclose that.
Yeah, so there's about just over 100 companies using the platform.
Cool.
And then I'll have to double check the students, but
thousands of students. Thousands. It's viral. You know what it's like, Brett. Yeah, yeah. When someone says, here's a cool thing. And
okay. Another interesting thing.
But you've been around for 2 years as well, so you've got some.
But also with the students, what happens is whenever a company connects with them, we've integrated into the sort of mobile payment system. So as a company integrates with you, the student instantly gets a gift voucher sent to their cell phones.
What? Yeah. You pay me to look for a job.
That's it, yeah.
Frick, it's like being on the dole. we didn't even get to... wait,
Zappa gave you 25 rand to go and scan a couple of QR codes.
Yeah, but no, but hold on a second. Dad to kid, you lazy shit, go get a job. Okay. And I get paid for it. Hell, I'll go. What do you do for a living? I apply for jobs.
But look how long it took you and me to get jobs.
No, but I apply for jobs. Dude, if you apply for three jobs a day,
there must be a cutoff.
A cutoff for?
How many gift vouchers I get?
No, as many as... dude. Whenever a company connects with a student, they
and
get
you have to be a
vouchers.
Student to do
that's
this?
That's it, you do.
So, I'm a student of
so,
life.
Student, graduate, get my job, I'm placed. Yep. Got my internship, get the
no,
job.
No, you jumped ahead though.
Am I still a student to you?
No, once you've signed a permanent contract with the company, once you've graduated, you're no longer.
And what's
a student.
The disclosure clause on that? I mean, if
well, effectively, what happens is when the students sign up, they use their student email addresses and that to register on the platform.
Okay.
As soon as they graduate, the universities cut that off, so they have to re-register every year. So if they're no longer registered at the university, they then get deactivated.
You really thought about this?
Yeah,
okay,
well, you have
to. Now you've got to go back to my employment questions. I mean, that bonus about paying people. Yep. In fact, I'm going to do that. When I hire the person, I'm going to say, well, you've already been paid your first month's salary. I know you've got a gift card. No, okay. So
it's the South African way to crib the system.
They have to. They have to say, yes, I'm game. So yes. I've said I'm looking for the BA. You'll system's already found people, pushed an email or SMS or whatever it is, saying, go and check your profile. There's a notice board.
Yep.
Sweet. They go, for Brett, definitely I'm in. How do I get that job? I'll work for free. You know, that kind of thing. I get an email back then as the employer saying, there are four profiles for you to view. Is that how it works?
Yeah, so it's more a live sort of thing. So you just put up the ad.
Oh, so it's quick. It's like instantaneous.
Yep. So you put your ad up. Applications start rolling in.
Yep.
You browse, look at them. There's also all tools to sort of help you speed that process up. So you can search by criteria. We have algorithms for their compatibility with your position based on their interests, their qualifications, how they see your company as well. So the students have to, if they apply to multiple positions, have to order them, effectively saying this is my first choice, second choice, third choice. All of these things feed into the algorithm. That the company can then say, okay, of these 100 applications, order them from top to bottom marks, or order them in terms of their compatibility, or search them by particular universities or demographics. Or so it speeds up that process of sifting through CVs significantly.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's the bane of my existence, is reading through these things.
Exactly.
I was a cashier. I'm like looking for a content writer.
And do you guys vet the candidates?
So basically they also upload all sorts of things like their ID copies, academic transcripts that they we verify against what they say.
Okay. So now I'm ready to engage. I've got four candidates that have come back to me or that I could click.
Yep.
So I now click.
Just for those of you listening, I think the process is slightly quicker than Brett's explaining it.
Oh, come on. No, I'm just intrigued in how this works because I've gone through this process so many times and it I actually get to a stalemate because from the time I place the advert to the time that the crap that comes through email, because I mean, really, in fact, what I've been doing is I give it to people in my company. Yeah. And I say, yeah, you
sir. First thing is to employ someone to read more CVs.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Yep. It's like, terrible. So when do I pay? Okay. Only when I send them an email and say, come for an interview.
So effectively, you've put this ad out. And if you've said, okay, I'm looking for a finance grad, only people with finance qualifications will see and be allowed to apply for your position. So there's no irrelevant applications at all that come through.
No cashiers.
No cashiers, no dental assistants.
Okay.
No first month, first term students that haven't graduated at all yet.
And then of the, so you say you got those four people, you can look at all of their profiles and you can say, okay, of those four, I just like these two. And then you just click unlock, and it would bill you for those two connections, and that's it.
Are we allowed to ask what that amount is? Is it a set fee? Does it scale depending on the qualification, like a doctor versus a
cashier? No, it's a
cashier?
Sort of flat fee, but the price changes with, we sell it in bundles effectively.
Okay.
So you can buy 10, 100, or 200.
Sounds like prepaid, CVs. Prepaid CVs.
That's it. If you bought 100 as a company, it just loads credits onto your platform. Every time you unlock, it just deducts your credits.
And what is a credit cost?
So it's roughly about 250 Rand a person.
Cool.
So when you compare it to 25% of your annual salary.
Yeah. The time it takes to actually find the right person as well, that's exactly. A saving.
Well done.
So the nice thing about it is that you're not doing permanent placements. You're doing vacation stuff as well, internships, vacation stuff, and during some of these extended student holidays, they need to pay for their lifestyle.
Yeah, and beer is not cheap.
No, it isn't, unless you come to,
Careful, you're going to have a horde coming through there.
Hold
that thought.
We'll invite you off here. How does that work then? So the first question I asked you earlier was, how do you qualify? I'm not a student anymore, so I've got a placement, but now I'm doing a holiday thing. So obviously you vetted all of these things, and you've got guys time-based, rock and roll.
Yeah. So it's a spectrum of things. So it's not just graduate jobs. So effectively, if you wanted someone to come in, you know, do internships or even part-time work, if you need data capturers or if you need anything like that you might need part-time a student to come in with no contract, no anything. You just post it up on the platform, say, I need a data capturer who can be here on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Cool. Matches you up to relevant people. You connect with them, and there you go.
See, cool. The nice thing about that, though, is these are university or tech students.
Yeah.
They're not some oak who's going to come into the office with
They've
his
got
pink
some savvy
socks
already,
on
which is cool.
And sit in my audit firm and tick. And well, I'm actually even wearing normal colored shoes today, I think. But you do graduate jobs. Now, that's permanent, obviously.
That's permanent.
That's a guy that's going to go into a.
Yeah.
Brett was talking about the vacation or the holiday jobs.
Yeah.
Do you charge the same amount of money for that as well? Is that where the scaling comes in?
It's the same flat fee. So whatever you want to connect with them, it's one flat
fee. That's fair. I don't mean that in a bad way. It also just keeps it simple. So I know for $250, I could find someone that meets at least 80% criteria.
Yeah,
that's it.
So we always brief our guests that we'd have more of a discussion than an interview, and we've grilled you. So, like, we know what's happening, I think, to some extent. I'm sure
Brett's
brain is ticking for the next question. But I like the name.
Yep.
So can we play with some of the fluffy stuff?
Functional stuff is cool, but
the Inspiration Lab, and you've got this cool little tagline, that's how we enroll. And that's,
I know, that was cool.
That was really cool. I like that. That really worked well.
Did you come up with that?
No. I can't take the credit.
That's how we enroll. That was cool. So Inspiration Lab, what was the inspiration behind the naming it that?
I actually don't know.
Really? Great question. I like it. Okay, the guy in the pink socks give you two thumbs up.
Someone just said it, and I liked it as well, so I thought, let's do it.
Well, that's how I named my daughter, so that's okay. Great. Why not?
My daughter.
But we were talking about my daughter, mine. We're talking about practicing what you preach, and you guys have gone the same route as what the service you offer is the same route you took to get your website made.
Exactly. So we also, you know, all about the lean startup process. Yeah. So we effectively use the students, we find them on our own platform and get them involved in building the platform itself.
Excellent.
So for instance, we'll have an internship where we get a bunch of computer science guys who build a new feature onto the platform, or we get a promotional video made, or or even just to get more students on the platform effectively.
That's actually very cool.
Yeah.
So we would say, okay, we need, you know, more engineers from UCT because we don't have enough. We find an engineer at UCT and contract them on a internship, and their job is to get more people class onto the platform.
So you infiltrate.
Exactly. So we just use our platform to build itself.
But, I mean, even that goes to the inspiration side. These are guys that are contributing to a portal that's going to put thousands of people into work, put them into, place them into positions, and as a portfolio piece, they can say, well, just go and check out the page that you found me on.
Yeah.
I did that video.
Exactly, yeah.
And another nice thing about the website is, for those of you that have maybe got a phobia towards large pages full of text.
It is nice, yeah.
There is a nice video.
Yeah.
Second video
that puts that a song in your head.
Yeah, so everything you've heard for the last 4:30 minutes, 1 minute 10 seconds, you guys have got a great little concise video that tells you exactly what you need to know, and then even further down how it works. You've literally broken down step by step. So students that are, it's something you can do in between your study break.
Exactly.
You are studying, take a break, come do this.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
I didn't see any testimonials on your site. That's not a good or a bad thing. But
everybody's too busy working.
Yeah. Tell us about some of the clients, if you're allowed to. I mean, if you're not, say no, Brett, I can't. But maybe, are you allowed to mention some of the companies that you've engaged with that have brought in candidates? Maybe even people that we know, like, you know, you've heard, like, this dude that came on is whatever and he's doing X.
So there's tons of companies. A lot of them you would know. Nedbank, for instance, other
people. We had Nedbank in here the other day.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of companies. So they really, you know, it's completely flexible for them effectively. There's no upfront fees to connect with the people. They, you know, if you come on the platform, you put your applications up, you don't receive anyone that you like, there's no fees whatsoever for you to use the platform. And obviously it's significantly cheaper than any other thing in the market.
So
as far as the companies are concerned, it's, you know, and they don't have to go, you know, connect with different universities from around the country, travel to career fairs. Mm. They can basically just sit in their office and connect with anyone from any university in the country.
Excellent.
So for them, it's a, you know, it's a fantastic offering.
Cool. If you don't mind, I'm going to meander and depart a little bit from specifically Inspiration Lab. Now, you're in the space where you're seeing a lot of students with specific skills being connected to specific businesses.
Yep.
What are you seeing? And the show is called Futurology. So what do you expect to see with people learning trades that are going into maybe unrelated or diversified positions? Are you seeing that? Is it some of the surprising links?
There's a lot of surprising things. I think one of the major things is just a mass movement towards technology.
Yeah.
So across any industry, every single company we go integrate onto the platform are looking for tech guys. It's a finance company that's now doing a fintech application. There's a, you know, regardless of the industry, everyone's sort of moving in that direction. So those people are in huge demand on our platform.
Okay.
But it's more the sort of general things. You know, you'll find the, you know, auditors, lawyers, they've got quite a predetermined path.
Yes.
Because they've got to do their articles so they've got quite clear paths, but it's more, say, finance students, engineers.
Okay.
That sort of end up anywhere.
Yes.
You might have an engineer in finance or in banking or in consulting or in a plant.
I studied BCom marketing, and some of the guys in my class ended up becoming financial hedge fund people. And I'm like, how on earth did you end up there? That's not what you were meant to do.
Exactly,
and you're finding all these unrelated things. But are you finding that digital positions are being filled by unrelated, by other lawyers and finance guys being headhunted and saying, we want specifically this type of thinking in our digital space?
I think the main sort of movement there is sort of more technical kind of programmers those people. So they're in massive demand. I think there's a huge shortage across, you know, and especially I think
we've had this chat 100 times. Do you know a good X?
Yeah, even with our startup, you know, you try to find good developers. It's very tricky.
Yeah.
Well,
it isn't. You just can't afford them because they know they're good. That's the problem.
they rule the world, these guys.
Yeah.
And yeah, especially with the banks, they're sort of absorbing, you know, 90% of them, and you know their salaries have sort of tripled in the last couple of years. So it's become very competitive to find those type of candidates.
Yeah. And you're obviously, I mean, you say you got 100 companies. How many startups?
There's a couple of startups that use it. Mainly based in Cape Town. There's a few.
Definitely can't afford a placement agency, so this is a great opportunity for them to get in the mix.
And also it's the same sort of thing that we were talking about. As a startup, you know, you need to be resourceful and that sort of thing. So if you come from a marketing background, it's like, okay, how do we get our product out? As a startup, we don't have, you know, sorry about your agency to come see you, Brett, but like if you have a couple of marketing students that can maybe very cheaply, put up, you know, cheap and easy websites, you know, students are a great resource to do that kind of work.
For sure, get the grunt work done.
I agree and I encourage that. You know, I mean, we were talking about this, in fact, this weekend. Being in the industry, I've got a lot of friends that are in the industry as well, and we were just saying that, you know, when things get tight, the first thing that goes is stationery, and then it's advertising. I mean, that's it. And then PR. You know, we've got to get rid of PR sometime soon as well. Sorry, Kathy. I'm just having a go at you. You know, the bottom line is I think that actually keeps us on our feet. It makes us as owners of agencies look for that talent and say to ourselves, well, you know, you're going to go out there and hurt me in the industry. The difference is they still need agencies. They still need us to... because we've been there, done that. So this type of offering that you're doing actually quite excites me, because if I can get the guy or girl that was top code or programmer or designer or whatever it is that I'm looking for at that moment in time, before A, my competitors get him, and B, before he does go on his own and then get financed and build the next agency,
sure,
you know, where he's or she is surrounded by people that have got the experience.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm seeing that now in my agency at the moment. We're a mix of ages. We've got digital and traditional. We've got young and old. You know, the traditional guys are all very powerful, heavy hitters from previous days. And the young guys think they're invincible. And, you know, to find that balance, it's not easy, but it works. Because the old guys can turn around and go, I'm not being your parent, but you know, we did that. It doesn't work. This is the best way to do it, but you know how to build the right thing. And it really does make sense, you know. My only challenge that I have, though, is with anything that happens online is, you know, how to engage or how to move to that next step in the discussion point. And that's why I asked you, like, from the companies that have given you testimonials and that, I suppose for you the measure would be that they buy more credits or they keep using the platform. They keep on your platform and they keep going on there and you know, getting people through the platform. Yeah. And that's
cool. I'm doing some trawling on the site. Go onto your Facebook page, check out the about. I see you guys have won 2 awards.
Yeah. So we've been we won two tech competitions.
Yep, the Web Summit.
Yeah, so we were in Web Summit in Dublin last year. That was fantastic.
That's brilliant.
And then we were also a finalist at Startup Istanbul in Turkey.
Excellent. I almost went.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
You should have come. It was really cool.
Yeah, I think that somebody blew something up in Turkey, and my guys were like, I don't know. It's actually so sad what's going on there,
because Turkey's awesome. I mean, I've been to Istanbul, I've been to Antalya.
But yeah, we digress. Tell us, what were the actual awards though, that you won? So it's nice that you went there, but what were the...
It's sort of like categories. Innovation awards at those...
So you were just given recognition on those.
Exactly, yeah.
How did you get to Turkey and Dublin? I mean, Ireland and Turkey from a South African startup, to win awards.
Yeah, so we were the only South African startup.
Did you find the selection panel there, Jobs?
Oh, you caught me.
Cool. There's always an inside. Excellent.
Yeah, it's sort of just a competition that you can enter.
Yeah.
So, you know, the organizers just mentioned that we should enter, and then we went through a bit of a process, and there's rounds that you go through. They sort of, you know, do interviews and challenge your business model and make sure that it's sort of disruptive and innovative and new in some sort of way, and then you get invited to come attend the thing.
Excellent. And so nice kudos for a startup service.
Yeah. Well, so and then once you're there, it's a fantastic setup. So it's sort of run by Google and Microsoft and those guys.
Those guys, yeah.
And also you know, startup accelerators from Silicon Valley and Y Combinator and those sort of guys. So it's half of the conference is about sort of just learning from other big startups. Seeing what the tech scene's like internationally. And then it also becomes a competition in itself. So you start, you know, pitching and doing competitions that these experienced sort of tech people analyze, and you go through various rounds.
Excellent.
And then we were a finalist.
So have you got some international links through those awards?
Yeah. So there's people from all around the world that attended those. Cool. You know, from all, you know.
So you're doing placement stuff, not necessarily just in South Africa. You're actually opening up to...
We're busy launching it in America as well, a pilot.
Fantastic.
in Tennessee. And then, but the plan, you know, we mainly focused on South Africa, but it's definitely in the pipeline to start.
But it's not hard to move in international. I mean, it's digital. That's so awesome. That's why we love what we do in this
global
industry.
Connected village.
Exactly, yeah. So we just deploy a server and off we go, get a small sales and marketing team, and then hopefully get it going.
I think a lot of these bricks and mortar retail spaces hate it when the digital guys come up like, oh yeah, we just deploy a server, just rock it up over there, and we like 500,000 people.
But just think about the last hour chat. Okay, yeah. We've effectively, well, we haven't, but you have turned recruitment like 180 on its head and given a slam dunk.
Yeah,
and it's just like bang, welcome. And that's what I mean. We always talk about Uber on the show and Airbnb and all these things, because they just put the middle finger up and go, we're here. And if you don't like it, well, sorry, but we're here. And everyone gravitates towards it.
Yeah, and I think that's just the nature of it. And as they start catching on, as people start, you know, they come onto, whenever there's a sort of new technology, you know, people come onto the platform, they're like, you know, a little bit skeptical at first. And then
Well, they
sort
would
of
be.
It does the job. But, you know, at a tenth of the cost and a tenth of the time, and then they sold.
I have to ask, when you go to these shows and that, and even maybe here, are the VC boys tapping on the shoulder? Are they knocking on the door and saying, can we write you some checks? Because, I mean, they're looking to South Africa for it.
Yeah, I think there's way more venture capitalists than entrepreneurs in the global scene, and it's a lot more so overseas.
Well, you just don't know about the entrepreneurs. That's the difference.
No, they're all being bought up
by
the VC guys.
Just the best kept secret. Yeah.
So yeah, especially overseas, it's a much bigger scene. They throw a lot more money at these sort of things. But I think we're slowly getting there. We're starting to build a culture for it in South Africa as well.
That's fantastic.
Nice.
We got to wrap up, Brett. Yeah. Any other questions or?
No, I think it's been hugely insightful.
I don't think it's gonna be hard to throw in the bus today.
Fantastic what you're doing. No.
I do as well. Well done.
Thanks.
Congrats.
So
it's very cool.
Give us the concluding thought of the day, week, month.
Well, the nice thing about the connected global village that we're all a part of now is that it doesn't matter whether you're a big company or a small individual with, you know, massive outlooks on life and all the hopes and expectations in the world. There's an opportunity that doesn't need to cost you the earth, and you're probably more connected to your next job or to your next, you know, career path than you think. And things like the Inspiration Lab really help you get there, but help you get there early. A lot of the things that we work on in the digital space is about experiences and sharing that experiences. And if people have this great roadmap straight out of varsity, it just helps them get straight plugged into the global brain, this crowdsourced information. And we start to turn the wheel a lot quicker. And because of that, things like innovation and collaboration are going to happen a lot faster. Disruptive mediums like Inspiration Lab are going to come up more and more because they're needed. And that's the idea, is that this necessity is the mother of invention, and that's what is starting to happen a lot more. And it's so cool to see. So if you're a student who thinks you're down and out and doesn't know where to turn,
and a company who's looking for cool students,
who's down and out and doesn't know where to turn, there's opportunity all over the place.
What's inspirationlab.io?
Definitely two thumbs up from the guy in the pink socks.
Oh, I'll give thumbs up as well. So I mean, thank you. Thanks very much, Mason, for coming through. Man. And until next time, keep your screens clean and your knobs shiny.
Cliff Central. The revolution. I've got something important to tell you. CliffCentral.com.